Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Frances Morrison from Columbia University. I'm a research scientist there. I've been working with George Hripsack and Albert Lai on some work for extracting Lyme disease symptoms and risk factors from text for the purposes of helping public health practitioners report this disease. This work has been under the New York City Center of Excellence. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the motivation for this work, the background, what the system we use to extract terms from text, and how we tested the system, as well as how well it worked and some challenges and potential uses for the system. So the goal of this work is really not case identification per se of Lyme disease. It's more to help people fill out all the different data elements they need to report Lyme disease to the CDC, as well as to do research themselves, which the public health, the health department in New York City also does. There are different groups that are also pursuing this this goal of automating the way that we report diseases. In particular, the case report standardization work group is one I'm more familiar with, and they're working on case identification algorithms, including specifically more focusing on structured data. But there are also other groups like ESP at Harvard that has been focusing on creating real systems that actually extract data for public health reporting. And some of that has included some free text data, but a lot of it has been structured data like lab codes and ICD codes and things like that. And other groups like Regan Streif has been extracting some of these data from using natural language processing, particularly around methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. A lot of these, the systems that are already being developed have been focusing on diseases that have structured data, a lot of structured data, lab data, ICD codes. But some diseases like Lyme disease have a lot of clinical data for their diagnosis and reporting. And a lot of the data that is required is basically unstructured text data. Just so we all are on the same page about Lyme disease, it's caused by bacteria, which is transmitted by the deer tick. There aren't a lot of cases in New York City, and around 500 in New York City, although they do get a lot of lab reports of Lyme disease. And there aren't even a ton of cases in the United States, 35,000 cases. It has a lot of different manifestations, early and late manifestations. The one in particular that's important is erythema migrans, which is a target-like rash that people get within 30 days of exposure. And that is actually pathognomonic for the disease, and that's all that's really required for reporting. They don't even need lab confirmation if it's erythema migrans. But that's actually rarely reported, particularly because the ICD code for Lyme disease and erythema migrans is the same one. So it's when somebody reports Lyme disease, it's the same exact code if you're talking about erythema migrans and Lyme disease. So they can't distinguish. They can't use that as a defining way to define whether that patient has erythema migrans. So the lab test, basically it's an immune reaction that they're testing. The lab test is actually part of a lot of different diseases get it. People with a myriad of symptoms, people get Lyme disease tests because if somebody comes in with cardiac or musculoskeletal symptoms, oftentimes Lyme disease test is part of that panel. So there are a lot of lab tests that get taken for Lyme disease. The current reporting process to the CDC is basically requires lab results or erythema migrans, some information about exposure, so including endemic areas like Connecticut, where we are, Connecticut, New Jersey, upstate New York, exposure to outdoor wooded or brushy or grassy areas, as well as time frames, so it has to be within 30 days or exposure or other symptoms within a certain amount of time. And then they require not only exposure but symptoms for the reporting. And there are three different classifications of case. So they have confirmed, probable, and suspected. And there are different combinations of these different data elements to put it into those categories. And the algorithms for actually identifying a case are pretty complex, actually. They have a lot of different data elements and time frames, and it's it's hard to, it would be a hard thing to get electronically, but it requires a clinician to actually go through and sort of specify all of the different elements. But some of them actually can just be extracted in terms of just being mentioned in text. So again, we're not trying to identify cases, but we're just trying to help fill out the data required for these reporting forms that the city uses to fill out for the CDC. So right now in New York City, it's a pretty big reporting burden for a disease that's not all that common. And it actually doesn't even, most of the exposure that occurs is not from New York City. So most of the people that get to the disease, they get it outside of the city. So in New York City in particular, it's a disease that has kind of a low value for reporting in a way, because there's not a lot of public health steps to be taken in terms of prevention of Lyme disease in New York City. So what the burden is right now is they get around 7,000 lab reports. They have to deduplicate those. So those are positive Lyme cases. So they deduplicate and they end up with about 4,000 lab reports. Of all of those, they have to send up follow-up letters to the clinician to try and get additional clinical information to put into the confirmed or probable category for the CDC. And from those, they get about a 50% response rate. So they get about 2,000 letters back. And of those, some are not Lyme disease, or some don't have complete data. So they end up with about 500 confirmed cases and 200 probable. That was the numbers from last year. So in terms of data processing, the lab results go directly into a database, but the rest of it has to be taken from these letters and put in manually into that database. And then they have a program that extracts from that database different combinations of symptoms in order to put into a format that it can be reported. So it seemed like natural language processing would be a pretty good system, pretty good way to get some of these data from an electronic health record, because a lot of the data that we're talking about are really not structured. They're in text, but they potentially are there, and they may help the public health practitioners get the data and put it into the forms for reporting. So the system that we developed was basically Medley plus an additional lexicon, which is basically a group of additional Lyme-related terms, and a query to extract all of these Lyme concepts from a bunch of clinical text. And from that, we calculated positive predictive value, and then we tested that on a few clinical notes at Columbia, and then we tested them on a larger number of clinical notes from a big outpatient practice in New York City. So in terms of the lexicon development, what we did was we wanted to find as many Lyme terms as we could. So we took, I looked through the literature, I looked through all the various Lyme reporting forms, that includes New York City, other cities, states, medical specialty groups, and they had, you know, a variety of different symptoms and risk factors, exposure information, including some, you know, required pregnancy to be in there. And we put all of those into a lexicon. So that was all the list of terms that we were going to add to Medley, so Medley could look for it, all those terms. And in addition to that, since we were dealing with real clinical data, and of course it's not perfect, I looked through a bunch of clinical notes that had lab tests done for Lyme disease, and looked for the various ways that people refer to these different symptoms, risk factors, and things like that, and put in all the variants so that we could catch all the other misspellings and different ways that people refer to things. So we came up with the lexicon first. And some examples are things like vector exposure, so insect and deer, geographic exposure, different areas around New York City that might be relevant. So those are endemic areas. And then outdoor exposures, woodsy, hiking, parks, things like that. So those were risk factors. And then in terms of the symptoms, all these symptoms were again taken from the various sources that we had. So we were just kind of looking for everything that might be relevant for helping people report. And then Medley already had some terms in it. So some rash terms that seemed like they were related to erythema migrans and other terms. So we didn't have to add those, but those were already in Medley that it looks for automatically by itself. So we basically trained our system on some notes at Columbia, and there weren't a ton of notes. We did, you know, about 8 years worth of notes, and there were there weren't that we looked for notes where there was a Lyme lab test taken and they actually mentioned the word Lyme, because otherwise they probably weren't thinking about Lyme if they're not even going to mention it. So I wanted to make this as fruitful as possible. We processed those notes through Medley in sort of an iterative process where we where I added to the lexicon and made sure the query was working. We used the Medley that has a tabular output, which is very easy to now import into a database. If you all have seen Medley, which is Columbia University's natural language processing system, it basically used to have an XML output, and now it has a nice tabular function, so it's easy to use. So then we queried, again, the output, and the query required not only words like, you know, terms like joint effusion, but we had to look for, you know, in the data field, effusion, like problem would be effusion, and then a body location would be joint. So we had to look for both types, pre and post coordinated terms. And then I ended up myself compared the terms that we found with the text to see if they mentioned a positive finding from the system, if that reflected a positive finding in the text, and if it mentioned also a negative finding from the system, it mentioned it in text. And just to clarify, Medley not only pulls out terms and concepts, it also gives you a certainty. So there can be if the text says no evidence of, it would say certainty no, or it could say high certainty, moderate certainty. So it gives different certainties. So you can sort of put a cutoff. I put it below moderate certainty. Anything that's less certain than that or would be a negative. So I had positive and negative findings to do the comparison. So the results of we ended up with 55 notes, as I said. There were 161 different findings. Most of them were symptoms. Most of them were positive findings, not negative findings. So there were about 3 findings per note. Some of them were duplicate findings. So I ended up calculating just the positive predictive value for both positive and negative findings, and that seems sort of backwards. But I was less interested in knowing what Medley missed. So if there are actually 2 reasons. It's hard to figure out how many concepts are in the text in the first place. So you have, you know, your false negatives are hard to calculate because it's how many concepts are in the text. It's kind of uncertain because there could be multiple, you know, one thing could be in multiple concepts, or you could have, you know, pre and post coordinated making one concept. So it's hard to find out false negatives. And also I was more interested in if the system said something is positive, what's the likelihood of it being positive? And if it's a negative, what's the likelihood of that actually being a negative finding in the text? So if Medley missed it, I'm not going to claim that that's not a finding or a negative finding in the text. I was more interested in whether a clinician actually said there was a negative finding and the system picked that up, if that makes any sense to you. So we calculated positive predictive value for both positive findings and negative findings. And just to clarify, we tried to pick up as many findings as we could by just developing the lexicon and adding words to the lexicon to pick up as much as we could, and that was part of the trying to reduce the number of false negatives. So this is an example of a part of a note, and the Medley output, which is now it's in tabular format, and I truncated it a bit because it's there's a lot more information in there. But you could see that first one is the problem is Lyme, and it found question Lyme, so it was moderate certainty, so it picked that up. And then it talked about an exposure of being in the Catskills, sort of missed target rash, and but it caught the migrating rash, missed arthralgias, and vague tingling on the left side of face. Maybe they're referring to Bell's palsy, I don't think so. And they missed the system missed the second mention of Lyme, but it did mention it. It did pick up the tick and outdoor exposure to the woods. So this is a very typical, like a pretty good, I would say, outcome of the system, that it picked up a bunch of different symptoms and risk factors. Although, yeah, Matt, it had a rash and exposures, so that was pretty good. Some of the things that the system didn't do as well at was particularly when there's like a negative finding with a bunch of different findings. So it was a negative with a bunch of different findings. So it didn't find that tick. It found the word tick, but it didn't associate it with the negative finding. So it looked like a positive tick exposure. And also knowing if there's another person mentioned in the note. Medley always has a hard time figuring out they're talking about somebody else, so like family history or, you know, like social history. Oftentimes it'll pick up these things as positive findings for the patient when it's actually for somebody else. And always there's, you know, Dr. Park, Dr. Woods. There's just no way to deal with that. That's always going to happen. So it did that as well. So, the other thing that Medley and the system that we used has a hard time with is time. So it's really hard to get it to specify a time frame. So when you're talking about case identification with less than 30 days of, you know, exposure less than 30 days ago, Medley's not going to be able to do that very easily. So that's something that they're working on with, you know, perfecting Medley, but it's that's a really big challenge in these notes in general, I think, with natural language processing. So then we took this system that we had created with it has a decent positive predictive value for positive findings and a so-so one for negative findings, but we decided to run it on, you know, a really large outpatient clinic. So we took a year's notes at a large outpatient clinic and ran the system on that. And then we had over 4,000 notes that we ran on. We just wanted to see how many findings we actually could get. I mean, what might the utility of this be if we could find as many things as we could to fill out these forms. We ended up with 6,500 findings, again, about 3 findings per case. And again, they were mostly positive findings, mostly symptoms rather than risk factors. And of these different types. But I think the interesting thing to point out is that in the dermatologic, so if erythema migrans is really what you need to diagnose a case, I think if there were basically 78 mentions of some sort of erythema migrans like rash, and not all of those were actually the words erythema migrans, they were, you know, target lesion or, you know, some other descriptor around erythema migrans that described erythema migrans. I mean, even that 78 cases, if you think there are 500 cases in the city, 78, I mean, that's a lot if you can get that many filled out automatically or diagnose that many cases. But of course, there's some level of uncertainty. So, you know, 88% of those are not going to be actually positive with the positive predictive value of 0.88. So, I mean, there is definitely some uncertainty in the data that you pull, and it's not that you can, like, plug these directly into case reports, but maybe it could... You know, there could be some way that it's useful, especially when filling out the rest of the symptoms. So the challenge that we ran into were really that these reporting requirements, like the one that I discussed for the CDC, they're really complex. They have complex algorithms and time features and a bunch of different symptoms and risk factors and things that are not structured. And then the clinician documentation, they often, erythema migrans is supposed to be greater than 5 centimeters, and I never once saw a mention of centimeters when they talk about erythema migrans. So words are ambiguous, language is ambiguous, so it's very hard to extract, as usual, data from text. And our system, you know, it worked pretty well, like pretty good positive predictive value, but it's not perfect. So I think that's sort of one of the main messages, is that some of these automated solutions, they may involve some culture change where uncertainty is more accepted. And you have sort of the people who, you know, the case definitions over here of these reportable cases, and you have the electronic data over here, and it's almost like we're sort of modifying how we get the data out, and we have to modify the case definitions to meet, you know, what kind of data we have, and maybe we'll sort of meet somewhere in the middle. But really, I think for me, the most important results would be, and I wasn't really able to figure this out in any way, was how much time it would save somebody to have these automatically. How much time would it save a clinician or a public health practitioner to have these data elements automatically put into a report? Would reporting actually be improved? You know, and therefore would health be improved doing that? So, I mean, if all these challenges were overcome and the system was improved, one way that it might potentially be used is we are looking into having Medley, Carol Friedman's natural language processing system, put on the public health grid. So that would be, you know, people could process their notes through and just get the output and be able to develop their queries. And that would involve people developing their own sets of terms that they can add and look for through Medley. And then maybe there would be some case definitions that require some structured data, some unstructured data, And, you know, like the risk factors that tend to be in the unstructured data could come from the text, and the others could come from ICD. And also, we're looking into a system where even clinicians at the point of ordering a Lyme disease test have to fill in, does this person have erythema migrans? And, you know, and if you could even pre-fill some of that part, you know, it looks like they have arthritis. Is that, you know, recent? Or pre-fill some of it and have them do some of it as well. It seems like it would reduce the time spent by the clinician as well. And even in public health, I'm not sure if this is correct. I know I learned in New York City this is correct, that public health can have access to clinical data if it's needed, if it's relevant. So you know, if this can help them, even just give them like this section of text where that's located, and they can actually look at themselves, it would even reduce time a little bit. So it could be put to use in that way. So I want to thank Albert Lai, who helped me do the data processing, and George Hripsack, and Sally Slavinsky from New York City Health Department, who helped me with this, as well as Carol Friedman and Luda, who do the natural language processing, and a group at Institute for Family Health, which is the clinic that we where we ran the notes, and all the group down there, as well as the Center of Excellence. So thank you.